Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Yud Tes. We are holding on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are four lines from the end of the page on Yud Ches Amud Beis at Tashema. And we are, we'll get to what we're up to in a second. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Alina Lishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom. It was nice to see Dr. Lander last night, the family Simcha. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for all of our soldiers and our captives. Akadosh Baruch Hu should bring them home safely very soon after a successful mission. So what we are going to discuss today is the following. We're in the middle of the sugya of Yesh Ha'ado El Tzoros or Ein Ha'ado El Tzoros. So Tzoros happens enough times, does something become a Muad or not? So the Gemara is good. We have one last Raya in that suffix of Yesh Ha'ado El Tzoros or Ein Ha'ado El Tzoros. The Gemara is then going to have two questions of Rav Ashi relating to the details of the halachas of Tzoros, and then the Gemara is going to question, how do you read the line where it says Haysim Mava'etas and Haytzoros Nitazin Mitachs Ragleha? Is that two separate cases, that it was Mava'etas or there's Tzoros, or are we saying it's Mava'etas and that generates the Tzoros? So we're going to have a couple of rayas to try to figure out how to read that line. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what if an animal what if an animal is mivaetes where tsroros would have happened anyway, that even if it would have been holich kedarka, it would have generated tsroros, but this animal is mivaetes and it generated tsroros. So do we say, well, it did it in a shooting way and therefore it's considered to be like Karen, or do we say no, it was going to happen anyway, so we view that like regel? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if tsroros happens in Rosh HaSarabim. Is there a chiyuv for tzoros in Rosh Hashanah? Normally you're putter from regel in Rosh Hashanah because an animal is allowed to walk kedarka in a Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to have several rayas to try to be poshet that suffix as well. And then on Amud Beis we're going to have various shilos about animals damaging by wagging its tail or other parts of his body. Do we consider that keren or do we consider that regel? The Gemara is going to explain the case and the halacha of a tarnagel with a dli tied to it where it damages by swinging the dali in one direction or another. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to move into the topic of Shein, that Shein is only considered to be Chayiv Berushos Hanizik, but in Rishos Harabim he pays only Mashanehene, but not that which he damaged, just that which the animal benefited. And the Gemara is going to go through the diet of an animal, you know, what is a normal thing for an animal to eat for various animals, and what is an abnormal thing for an animal to eat. So let's begin with the raya on the bottom of Yud Chesam Beis, Tashma, four lines from the end of the page on Yud Chesam Beis. So Tashma, Titani Rambari Cheskel, Tarnagel Shoshit Rosho, La Avir Kli Zuchuchis. If a Tarnagel sticks its head into the airspace of a glass Kli, Vitakabo, and it lets out a noise, Ushavaro, and from the noise that the chicken made, it breaks the glass Kli, that the decibel level is such that the reverberations break the glass Kli. So Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So pays, the Bala Tarnagol is going to pay Nezek Shalim. Yet we find Va'amar Rav Yosef had said, Amri Bei Rav, that they said in the Beis Medrash of Rav, that a Sus Shetzanaf, if a horse lets out its noise, V'chamar, I don't know the proper terminology of the noises that different animals make. So, but anyway, a Sus Nays, I think. V'chamar she'na'ar. Yeah, I got that right. V'chamar what was that song? There's a song about an animal. What sound it makes or something? What? What does the fox say? Yeah. Okay. So v'chamar she'na'ar. The key is okay. So v'chamar she'na'ar. V'chamar is na'ar. V'shiber es ha'kelim, and it breaks kelim in that way. Mishalim chatzi nezek. So then you pay chatzi nezek. So on the one hand, we have Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel that when the tarnagel damages with its voice, it pays nezek shalim. And yet on the other hand, Rav Yosef quotes Ami Beirav that a sus or a chamar that damages with its voice pays chatzi nezek. So my love kagon da'avat losses. Zimni? Aren't we talking about a case where it did this three times? Ubahakam Ifilgi. And the machlokas between these two sources is about this very issue. That Mar Savar Yesh Ha'adah, Umar Savar Ein Ha'adah. That it's all about whether you can become a mu'ad for Tzroros if it happens enough times. Because this too is like Tzroros in that it's kocho, it's not gufo that the animal is damaging with. So that explains the discrepancy between the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel and the Amri Bey Rav. The Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel holds that you pay Nezek Shalem because he's talking about where it already did it three times. And the Amri Bey Rav holds you pay Chatzin Nezek, he's talking about on the first time. So it says Mara Lo. There's no reason to say that it happened three times. But Chad Zimna, they're talking about a case where it happened only once. They're arguing about what Tzroros pays. Do you pay Chatzin Nezek or Nezek Shalem? Which we know is an established Machlokas Tanaim between Sumchus and the Rabbanan. Why would Rav have to tell me that you pay Chatzin Nezek for Tzroros if the Marshal explains, because once Rami Bar Yecheskel expresses that he holds like Sumchus, so Rav, the Amri Bey Rav, has to say, no, we don't. We don't hold like Sumchus, and he has to express that he's Cholek. So says Mar Vahamashunahu, but wait a second. For an animal to damage with its voice is an unusual thing. So forget about Tzroros of Regel. Shouldn't that be Keren? Shouldn't that be considered unusual enough, and you should be chayv mishum keren? So why would Rabbi Mary Cheskel say that you pay nezek shalem? So it says Mar Diispe Bizrani, that the Bryce was talking about a case where there were seeds in the kli. So it's the derech of the tarnagol to stick its head in to try to find those seeds, and once it sticks its head in, so it got frightened and it let out a noise, and that's what broke the kli. So there was nothing unusual about it. It's not unusual behavior for an animal. Now it's interesting that the Gemara assumes that there is this machlokas between the Amri Bey Rav and the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. And the question is just, what are they arguing about? Are they arguing about Yesh Adal and Tzoros, or are they arguing about Tzoros in general? Tosos points out in the top Tosos, Tema, Minole de Pligi. How do I know they're arguing at all? Dilma Rami Bar Yecheskel, Bidi'i Ya'ed, Va'amri Be'rav, Bidaloi Ya'ed. Maybe they're not arguing whether there's more of the Tzoros. Maybe everyone agrees that there is more of the Tzoros. And the Rami Bar Yecheskel is talking about a case where they'd already had, where it already happened three times. And the Amri Bey Rav is talking about a case where it had not yet happened three times. So everyone agrees in halacha. It's just a question of metzius. So says Tosos Yishlomer Dim Kain Ma'ika Mashma Amri Bey Rav. No, if that were the case, what is the big chiddush of Amri Bey Rav? That when you have Tzoros the first time, you pay chatz. Nezek. We know when you have Tzoros the first time you pay Chatzin Nezek. He says, Ve'in l'tmo ha'hechi palag ha'braisa. Are you going to tell me that the Amri Bey Rav is arguing on Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel? Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel is a braisa. Amri Bey Rav is what they said in the base medrash of Rav. Rav is an Amora. So he says, Tam Amri Bey Rav, Mishmei to Rav, Rav Tanu palag. What they taught in the base medrash of Rav typically were the teachings of Rav. Meaning it wasn't just Talmidim in the base medrash generations later. It was Talmidim in the base medrash maybe generations later saying over the teachings that Rav had. And we know that Rav is, even though he was in generation of the early generations of Amoraim, Tanuhu Upalig, that he was someone who would argue on Tanaim from time to time. Or it could be that the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel is not really considered an authoritative brisa, because it was not one of the brises that was well known, and therefore it wouldn't be so unusual for the Amri Bey Rav to argue on it. Meaning, even if the Beis Medrash of Rav were considered Amoraim who do not argue on Tanaim, what's the inyan of not arguing on Tanaim? Not arguing on Tanaim was not a halacha that they weren't allowed to argue on Tanaim. It's that at some point they chose not to argue on Tanaim. So they can only choose not to argue on Tanaim that they were aware of. But if there was some teaching that was not a well-established teaching, so then they argued on Tanaim. That's what the Kesef Mishnah explains, that the Amoraim, there was no rule. No one came and made a takana or a gzeira that Amoraim are not allowed to argue on Tanaim. It's just that at some point it became self-understood that the more productive way of learning would be to try to figure out what the Tanaim meant rather than try to argue on the Tanaim, because there was a significant Yeridas Hadoros. So Tosfos goes in both directions, right? Meaning, if you're going to say, how can this Amora argue with this Tana, you could answer it in two ways. You could say the Amora is not an Amora, or the Tana is not a Tana, right? So the first answer is the Amora is not an Amora. The second answer is the Tana is not a Tana. Okay, so now says the Gemara Vayter, a Shaila about Tzoros. By Ravashi, Yeshinu the Tzoros to the Revi'a Nezek, O Ein Shinu the Tzoros l'raviyah nezek. Meaning, according to the Chum that hold that when tzoros come out kedarka, you pay chatzi nezek. What would be the din when the tzoros come out with a shinui that the animal kicks on the ground, and because of that tzoros come out? Do we say that you still pay chatzi nezek, or do you only pay raviyah nezek because it gets cut in half on the fact that it's kocho and it's not gufo, and it gets cut in half again because it's keren, because it's a kerentan, because it's a shinui? So the studim of the suffix is, do we view the behema that is matis tzoros kedarko as a muad for that nezek, and since it pays chati nezek on its muad status, so if it does it with a shinui, on its tam status it would only pay revia nezek, like a short tam that only pays half of what it should pay? Or do we say no, that there is simply no din of tamus and muadus when it comes to tzoros? We don't find that a tam ever pays less than chati nezek, so tzoros just has a din of chati nezek, and it's not about tam and muad. So it says more tifshal lemi de rava. We could be poshet this shaila. Once you formulate the shaila in that way, which is the way Rashi formulates the shaila, Tos Rabbein Peretz doesn't love it. But once you formulate the shaila in that way, so then tifshal lemi de rava. All we really need to be poshet is, do we ever find tamus and muadus in tzoros? So to buy rava, rava raised the following shaila: yesh hadol tzoros, ein hadol tzoros. That he, the Rav raises the shaila: is there such a thing as tzoros becoming a muad and therefore paying nezek shalem, or no? It can never become a muad, and it's always going to pay chatzi nezek. The fact that there's even room for such a shaila tells me that there's clearly no such thing as revia nezek. Because if tzoros were mashuna would pay only revia nezek, how could it be that once it's muad, it's going to pay nezek shalem? If a tam only pays revia nezek, then a muad should pay chatzi nezek, right? It should max out at chatzi nezek. So it must be that according to Rava, the din of chatzi nezek of tzoros, that the animal is matis kedarka, is midin tamus. That's the tam. That's not a din of a muad. And therefore, he's mesupak. Once it becomes a muad, to do it three times, does it then pay nezek shalem? So the Gemara rejects this answer. Dilma Rava im timtzelomar ka'amar. Maybe Rava's not making any assumptions. He's just he's arguing out all possibilities, meaning he's not sure whether Shinui the Tzoros would knock it down to Revi and Ezek, and he's also not sure whether Adal the Tzoros would make it Nezek Shalim. And Imtim Tzlomer Ein Shinui, if you're going to say that there's no such thing as Revi and Ezek for Tzoros, so then he wants to know Yesh Adal Ein Adal. So would there be such a thing as Nezek Shalim for Tzoros if it happens enough times? Teku, and he's unsure about either of those Shailas. So that's the Shaila that Ravashi raised about tzoros, whether they're shinui the tzoros or not. We cannot answer based on the previous shaila that we just finished discussing about yesh ha'adol the tzoros. But that's how those two sugyas come together: hadol the tzoros and shinui the tzoros. Meaning we know tzoros pays chatzi nezek. So first the Gemara had this whole discussion: can it go in one direction and ever pay nezek shalem? Then the Gemara has another discussion: can it go in the other direction and pay revia nezek? And the Gemara says, and those two discussions are certainly related to each other. By Ravashi. Now Ravashi raised another shaila: koach kocho lusumchus kikocho dami olam. Right, sumchus has this shita that kocho is pays nezek shalem. So does sumchus not hold of chatzi nezek tzoros at all, or does he say I hold of chatzi nezek tzoros? It just needs to be another step removed that kocho pays nezek shalem. But if it's koach kocho, then it would pay chatzi. What's koach kocho? The animal's walking, tzoros shoot out from under its foot, it hits a kli, doesn't break that kli. That kli then, a domino effect, shoots and smashes into another kli, and that kli breaks. So that's a koach kocho. So according to Sumchus, do you say koach kocho pays chatzi nezek, or do you say no? Sumchus just doesn't hold of the idea of that which is not the goof of the animal paying chatzi nezek. Mi gomer halacha umokila bekoach kocho. Did he also have a kabbalah of halacha l'moshe Sinai that tzoros pays chatzi nezek? He just defined the case of the halacha l'moshe Sinai to be in the case of koach kocho. Or maybe he simply didn't have any such tradition. He had no such halacha l'moshe Sinai. Teku, the Gemara leaves that shaila unresolved. The Rush writes that the Rif does not bring this suffix because we don't paskin like Sumchus, so there's no nafkamina la halacha whether what Sumchus would hold about koach kocho. because we don't pass like Simchas anyway. Even on Kocha, we don't pass like Simchas. However, the Rush writes that he thinks that there's a nafkamina in this Safek, even though the Rif doesn't bring it, because the Rif must have assumed there's no nafkamina. The Rush says, not so pashut that there's no nafkamina, because from Rav Ashi, you see that it's pashut that we treat a nezek that's done with koch kocha of a person or behema as if it's done b'kocha mamish, and you have to pay for that nezek. The shaila is, according to Sumchus, was he not mekabel the din of chatzi nezek shoros at all, and therefore koch kocha of a behema is kikocha and pays nezek shalim, or is he moda to the chachamim that that's where the halacha l'moshe misinei of chatzi nezek is going to apply? Because he gets not mistaver to say that the suffix of Ravashi, according to Sumchus, is whether you're pater legamri b'koch kocho or the halacha is mechayiv chatzi nezek, because it's not the derech for halacha to be most sifachiv. Meaning, what was Ravashi unsure about? What would the alternative be when it comes to Sumchus? Ravashi says, wait, does Sumchus hold chatzi nezek by koch kocho or what? Or does he hold what? So the Rush says, or does he hold nezek shalem by koch kocho? That koch kocho is going to pay nezek shalem. His shaila was not, does Sumchus hold zero by koch kocho? Or did the halacha l'moshe misinei come to me mechadesh chatzi nezek? Because halacha l'moshe misinei, the yisod that we said from the Rosh the other day, halacha l'moshe misinei is always goreya. It's never mosif. Just like in Masechta Sukkah, that you need three walls from the psukim. Oh, the halacha l'moshe misinei says the shlish is hafilu tefach, that it could be even a teeny tiny wall. Right? So halacha l'moshe misinei is always goreya. So it turns out that according to the Chamim, there's no makom for such a safek. It's pashut that a behemoth that's a mazik b'koch kocho is going to be chayiv chatzi nezek like tzoros, just like a behemoth that's mazik b'kocho. So it does come out that Ravashi is teaching me something by the formulation of his shaila, because he's working with the assumption that absent halacha l'moshe misinei, koch kocho is the same as kocho. And therefore, if we hold that kocho is chatzi nezek, we're going to hold that koch kocho is also chatzi nezek. Tosos and daf chav beis amir Aleph, it does not hold that way. He holds that the suffix is bein l'das sumchus, bein l'das chachamim, whether the koch kocha of a person or a behema is considered like kocha and you have to pay for it, or maybe you're putter entirely. And it could be that according to the chachamim, in behema animals, if a behema damages with koch kocha, the bialim is going to be completely putter. So that's machlokas, Tosfos and the Rush. Is there anything to derive from the shaila of Rav Ashi? And the Rush says, yes, we see clearly that he holds koch kocho is the same as kocho, whatever your opinion about kocho is, but koch kocho is the same as kocho, whereas Tosfos is not so convinced. And it could be that for koch kocho, one is going to be potter. Okay, then the Mishnah said, hoysa meva'etes, so the animal is meva'etes, o shay tzoros minatsin mitachas ragleha, or there were tzoros that shoot out v'shavras hakelim, and it breaks kelim, mishalim chatzi nezek, yipei chatzi nezek. So are those two cases or one case? Ibayilu, heichi kamar, what does the Mishnah mean to say, hoysem v'etes v'izika bibiuta, oh, tzroros ko'or chayhu, mishalim chatzi nezek? Is it two cases that if an animal is meva'etes, so that's keren, that's a shinoi, and therefore it's going to be chatzi nezek, and another case that's chatzi nezek is an animal just walking along normally, and tzroros shoot out from under its foot, that in both of those cases you pay chatzi nezek v'rabbanan here, and we're assuming like the rabbanan that tzroros pays chatzi nezek. O dilma, or maybe the way to read the Mishnah is ha'isem ve'etes v'izika b'biuta, it's kicking and it does damage, or tzroros machmas biut, or it did damage by kicking and generating tzroros, but it's the kicking that generated the tzroros, mishalim chatzi nezek. In those cases, you're mishalim chatzi nezek, because that's all keren, it's all a shinoi. But haki orche, but if we're just walking along and generated tzroros, mishalim nezek shalim. The assumption is that you pay nezek shalim, umani sumchusi, and we're assuming like sumchus that tzroros pays nezek shalim. So the Gemara tries to be poshet the suffix from the seifa of the Mishnah. So basically it's a question of the authorship. I mean, it's not really a question of halacha over here, because we know what the halacha is, machlokas sumchus and lecham, whether tzoros pays chatzi nezek or nezek shalim. But the shaila is the Mishnah telling me that regular tzoros pays chati nezek, or is the Mishnah telling me that regular tzoros would pay nezek shalim, and that's why the Mishnah talks about tzoros of the shinui that pays chati nezek? So tashma mi seifa, we bring a raya from the seifa. Darsa l'kli u'shavarto, the animal tramples on a kli and breaks it. V'nafal shavar l'kli acher u'shavaro, and that broken piece falls on another kli and breaks it. Al rishon mishalim nezek shalim, the first kli you pay nezek shalim, just like a regular regel. V'alachron chati nezek, and the second kli you pay chati nezek. V'sumchus, but if you're assuming like sumchus mi islay chati nezek, does sumchus hold of chati nezek for tzraros? So since the seifa clearly follows the chamim, must be that the resha is also talking about regular tzraros and is following the chachamim, that tzraros pays chati nezek. V'chitema, wait, maybe you're going to say, wait a second, if the seifa of the Mishnah is following the chamim, how come Rishon pays nezek shalem? It's only on the kli that the behema is doris paragleha. So Rishon lahataza, meaning the Rishon must be that it was broken because the animal was matiz biragleha, and therefore it's mishalim nezek shalem according to sumchus. The sheni lataza, meaning maybe you could say that it's not going like chum, that it's going like sumchus. And when we say rishon, it means rishon lataza. It doesn't mean the kli it stepped on. It means the first kli that was broken from something shooting out from it. And sheni means sheni lataza, which is what we call koach kocho. V'sheni le sumchus ben kocho le koach kocho. And maybe that's what it's saying, that the same of the mission is going like sumchus. Sumchus holds that for tzoros you pay nezek shalem. Yeah, that's because tzoros is kocho. But if it becomes koach kocho, if those tzoros then make other tzoros, for that you're going to pay chatzi nezek. So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that that's what the Mishnah is talking about, because Allah hadbay ravashi koach kocho l'sumchus kocho dami alav kocho dami tivshalei delav kocho dami. If that's what the Mishnah meant, then we have an easy answer to Ravashi's question whether sumchus holds koach kocho pays chatzi nezek or not, because here you have it, that al rishon you mishalim nezek shalem, and al sheni you pay chatzi nezek. So the Gemara says you can't be poshet Ravashi suffix necessarily, because Ravashi krabana mokila. Ravashi will understand the Mishnah to be like the Chachamim ubay lahachi, and he's mesupuk in how to understand the Mishnah slightly differently. That haisim of etes v'zika bibiuta, if the animal kicked and damaged with its kicking, oh tzoros korchayu chatzi nezek, or it had regular tzoros. In either of those cases, it would be chatzi nezek. Ha machmas biut, but if the tzoros would have happened machmas biut, but for the animal kicking, then revia nezek v'yeshinoi. And we assume that, going back to one of our earlier shaylas, maybe that's what the Mishnah is telling me, that had it been a tzoros that were generated by biut, with a keren type of thing, with a shinoi type of thing, so then it would be revia nezek. O dilma, or maybe not. Haysim vetes vizika bibiuta. O tzoros machmas biut chatzi nezek vein shinoi. Or maybe even tzoros machmas biut does not pay any less than chatzi nezek. There is no such thing as shinoi tzoros to pay revia nezek. So take who the Gemara leaves this unresolved as well. So the suffix that he had, yeshinoi tzoros revia nezek, is really the basis of that suffix is whether our Mishnah is talking about regular tzoros or tzoros mishunim, right? Meaning that suffix wasn't a pie in the sky kind of suffix. It was how do you touch the Mishnah kind of a suffix. That is our Mishnah talking about regular tzoros and saying regular tzoros pays chatzi nezek, but tzoros implying tzoros mishunim would pay revia nezek, or is our Mishnah talking about tzoros mishunim and still saying that he pay chatzi nezek because there's no such thing as revia nezek? So by minei Rabbi Abba bar Mamal me Rabbi Ami, another shaila about tzoros. Va'amri lo Rabbi Chia bar Abba ha'isam ha'alechas makom shi'ev shala eli imkein minatezes. If an animal is going in a place where there's no avoiding tzoros, meaning it's one of those pebble driveways or something, that the animal can't walk so gingerly that rocks are not going to go in one direction or the other. Uba'ata, but instead of just walking, it kicks the ground, v'itiza, and tzoros shoot out, v'izika, and it damages mahu. So how do we view that? Do we view that like regular tzoros because it was going to happen anyway? Or do we view that as tzoros halidei shinui? So kivin diyev shala orchehu, adulma hashtamiya machmas biyut kaminatza tzoros. Do we look at what was going to happen anyway, and therefore, meaning if had someone shown you this picture as the animal's about to walk up that pebble driveway, you could have predicted that the natural consequence of that is that there's going to be tzoros, and that's enough to say, okay, so therefore it's normal? Or do we have to look at how it actually happened? And the way it actually happened was the animal was mevait, which is an unusual thing, and therefore be like Karen. So take, the Gemara leaves that Shaila unresolved as well. The Gemara doesn't explain what the Nafkamina is, in whether you view it as Machmas Biut or not. Rashi says two ways to understand the Nafkamina. According to the Tzad, that Yeshinu Tzolos Revia Nezek, that so the question is whether it's Revia Nezek over here. But the problem is, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz raises the question, then the Gemara should have said, Im Tzimtzum Lomer, Yesh Tzolos Revia Nezek, meaning we never appreciate that Shaila. So to ask a Shaila that only matters if you hold that there's such a thing as Revia Nezek, the Gemara should have indicated that this Shaila only matters if there's Revia Nezek. The other way of explaining it, the Rashi quotes from his Rebbeim, is that according to the Tzad, that there's Ha'ada'a for Tzoros Mushunim to pay Nezek Shalem, but not for Tzoros Regilim, not for regular Tzoros to pay Nezek Shalem. So that's the question. Do we view these as Mushunim? So in a case where it happens three times, it will become a Mu'ad and pay Nezek Shalem, or do we view this as regular Tzoros, which will never become a Mu'ad? But that, again, that also makes several assumptions. Okay, so by Minei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mei Rabbi Zeva, meaning all the other Shailas that we had were clear about what the consequence of the Shaila was. This was just more of like a philosophical Shaila without any clear consequences to the Shaila. So by Minei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zeva, Haisema Lechz Bershus Rabin, V'Itiza V'Zika Mahu. If an animal is walking in the Rishus HaRabim and Tzroros came out and did damage, so what's the din? Are we Mechayiv Mishum Tzroros in a Rishus HaRabim? On the one hand, the Keren Midamin Levi Chayeves, do we compare it to Keren? Because what else pays Chatzi Nezek? The only other thing on earth that pays Chatzi Nezek is Keren. So maybe Tzroros are just like Keren, and therefore you're Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah. Odilma told the Dregel, Ptura. Or do we say, no, Tzroros happens when an animal's walking normally, so that's Regel. An animal's allowed to walk normally in a Rosh Hashanah, and it's Pater from anything it steps on. You're not supposed to leave your stuff out in a Rosh Hashanah if it's fragile. So Amalei, Mistavra told the Dregel, it's more Mistavra that it's told of Regel, because the animal is just walking along its normal way. So once we say that we pater niske tzoros in Rishus Rabim, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asks Rabbi Zeira another shayla. He teaser Rishus Rabim v'zikah Rishus Hayachid Mahu. What if the tzoros were generated in Rishus Rabim, but the damage that they did were in Rishus Hayachid? So then what's the din? Do we view it based on where it was matiz, where the behemoth was matiz the tzoros, or do we look at where the nezek actually happened bepoel? So Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira said, Akira ein kan, hanacha yesh kan. Meaning, once you can't be mechayiv on the akira satzoros because it's in Rosh Hashanah, then of course you can't be mechayiv no matter where those tzoros did the actual damage, even if it's in Rosh Hanizik. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asks on Rabbi Zeira, Haysam halachas bederach v'itizah ben Rosh Hashanah ben Rosh Hashanah chayiv, it says beferish that you're chayiv, even if it damages in Rosh Hayachid. So my love, v'itizah ben Rosh Hashanah ben Rosh Hashanah, isn't this talking about a case even that not only if it damages in Rosh Hashanah, even if it damages in a Rosh HaRabim that you're chayiv. So don't you see that you're chayiv on this case, Tzoros Rosh HaRabim? Meaning, we had two shaylas. Our first shayla was, if it's Tzoros, the whole thing happens in Rosh HaRabim. So we said, it's more mistaver that you're totally potter if the whole thing happens in Rosh HaRabim. Then we had a second shayla, what if the Hataza happened in Rosh HaRabim and the Nezek happened in Rosh HaYachid? So now we're going back to the first one. And we're saying, wait, it says that if it was Mahalechas Baderek V'Yitiza, even if it's in Rosh Hashanah, you're chayiv. Doesn't even in Rosh Hashanah mean, going back to that first shayla, that even if the whole thing is in Rosh Hashanah, you're chayiv? So it says more low. That's not what it means. It means, he teases Rosh Hashanah, he's equal to Rosh Hashanah, that you're going to be chayiv. Okay, but then it's our second shayla, right? Then you're answering our second shayla, that you're chayiv when the damage happens in Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira, V'amrit akira in kan anachi yesh kan. But didn't you just say a svara, that if the akira happened in a place where you're pater, then you can't be chayiv no matter where the damage happened? So Amalei Hadribi, he said, yeah, I did say that, but I'm allowed to change my mind, so I changed my mind. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks another kasha on Rabbi Zeira. Esve, it says in the Mishnah, Darsal Kli Ushavarta, if the animal tramples on a Kli and breaks it. V'nafal HaShavarel Kli Acher Ushavaro, and that broken piece goes onto another Kli and breaks that. Alarisha Mishal Nezek Shalim, Alachar Mishal Chatzin Nezek. You pay Nezek Shalim for the first Kli, and Chatzin Nezek for the second Kli. V'tani Allah, and the Braisa elaborated on that Mishnah, that Bamed Varma Murim went. Do we say that you pay Nezek Shalim on the first Kli and Chatzin Nezek on the second Kli? That's Berushos HaNizik. That's if it happens in Berushos HaNizik. Av Berushos HaRabim. But when the damage happens in Berushos HaRabim, Alarishon Petura,
you're entirely putter for the first kli, because it's niske regel, and regel is putter rishus rabim. V'ala achron chayeves, and on the second kli that was damaged by tsaros, you're going to be chayev chatzin ezek. Ooh, my love, he tees rishus rabim, v'ziku rishus harabim. Isn't this talking about where everything happened in rishus rabim, and we're saying that you're chayev for tsaros in rishus rabim? Lo, he tees rishus rabim, v'ziku rishus yachid. Who says that we're talking about that? Maybe it's a case where it was hitis rishus rabim, but the damage happened in rishus. But didn't we say a svara that if the, where the hataza happened, you couldn't be chayiv, then it doesn't matter where the damage happened? Amalei Hadribi says, yeah, I did say that, but I changed my mind. So then Rabbi Yirmiyahu has another kasha on Rabbi Zeira, which is going to have a similar result at the end of the conversation. Eini, can you really say that you're not chayiv on niske tsroros in a rishus harabim? V'ha amar Rabbi Yochanan, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us, or will he will teach us enough? That whenever there's a chiyuv to pay chatzi nezek, you're chayiv in that chatzi nezek, whether it be in rishus yachid or in rishus harabim. So you see from there that you chayiv even on niskei tsroros in a rishus harabim. So my love, he tees rishus harabim, v'zikub rishus harabim. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan mean to say that you chayiv even in a case where the animals matis tsroros in rishus harabim and it damages in rishus harabim? You see against Rabbi Zeira that even if the whole thing happens in rishus harabim, you're chayiv mishum tsroros. So says Mar, lo, he tees rishus harabim, v'zikub rishus yachid. Some had a case of the hataz happened in Rosh Hashanah, but the damage happened in Rosh Hashanah. I've amrit akirein kana nocha yesh kan, but didn't you say that if you're pater on Soros and Rosh Hashanah, then even if the damage actually happens in Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be pater also? So I'm like, Hadribi. He said, yeah, I changed my mind about that. So three different times that we brought a raya that Soros in Rosh Hashanah is going to be chayiv. All three times we said, no, it's not a raya. It's talking about a case where the Soros happened in Rosh Hashanah, but the Nezek happened in Rosh Hashanah, and that's where you're chayiv. The Gemara said, but what are you talking about? I thought that if Tzroros is pater Rosh Hashanah, then it's going to be pater even if it damages Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, no, we take that part back. We don't hold to that. Meaning, so we still maintain that if the Tzroros happened entirely in Rosh Hashanah, you're pater, but if it starts in Rosh Hashanah and damages Rosh Hashanah, so yitachein that you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara is another teretz to the kasha from Rabbi Yochanan. V'iba yisema, or if you want to be miyashiv, kiyam Rabbi Yochanan keren. Rabbi Yochanan, when he said that chatzin nezek doesn't make a difference between shus yochanan and shus rabim, he's talking about chatzin nezek of niske keren, but about chatzin nezek of tsroros, he's moded that you're pater in shus rabim. Meaning maybe he was stamped talking about keren. We had that discussion. We know keren in shus rabim is chayiv chatzin. But we had a machlokas tanaim. Is Karen in a rishus hayachid in the rishus hanizik chayiv chatzin nezek, or is it chayiv nezek shalim? So that's what Rabbi Yochanan was telling us. He was taking a stance, and he was saying that we paskin that Karen, no matter where it is chayiv chatzin nezek. But maybe Rabbi Yochanan's statement has nothing to do with our discussion. Now, other sveikos. Yes, Rabbi Yudin see of Rabbi Yoshaya Akila. The Rabbi Yehuda, they were by the entrance of the house of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Nothing Milsa, not Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, because it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya over here. That's the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Nothing Milsa mi benayu, and they were discussing a shaila that someone asked. Kishkisha biznava mahu. What if the animal wags its tail and it damages in Rosh Hashanah by wagging its tail? Do we say that the Baal Beim is chayiv in the nezek or not? The tzadim of the suffix is it normal for an animal to do that and therefore it's pater because it's like regular Rosh Hashanah? Or do we assume it's abnormal for an animal to damage by wagging its tail and therefore it's a told of Karen and Karen is going to be chayiv in a Rosh Hashanah? So Amalei Idach, so he responded, zena biznava v'yelech. What does an owner of an animal, is it expected to hold the animal's tail when it walks with it in Rosh Hashanah? Have you ever seen a dog owner have a leash in one hand and the animal's tail on the other hand, or a leash that also attaches to the tail to hold it in place? No, that's not a part of your chiv shmira. You don't have to do that, and therefore you're going to be pater if it damages. Ihach, he says in Gemara, if that's the svara to pater, that if you don't have to hold that part of the animal while you're walking Rosh Hashanah, then you're going to be pater. Karenami neima v'chiyach zena b'keren v'yelech. You ever see a guy walking his bull in a Rosh Hashanah holding the horns? Meaning that's not something that a person would ever do either. So says Gemara, hachi hashta. You can't compare keren to kishkush bezanav. Keren lav orche. Keren, it's not the derech of a behemoth to damage with its horns. Ha orche, but it's very normal for an animal to wag its tail. There's even a word. I don't know if we use wag in too many other contexts other than a tail, right? So that's a very normal thing, a typical thing to do. Well, if it's such a normal thing to do, then why is it even a suffix? Obviously, it's regal if it's a normal thing to do, and if it's regal, you're part of Rosh Hashanah. So it says, Mar Kishkush Yisayrimi, by the way. Now, the Shaila was, what if the animal is wagging its tail wildly? So then do we assume that that's Meshuna and it's the Tolda of Karen? Or do we assume, it wags its tail, so it's wagging a little extra, it doesn't, it's still considered regal. Rav Eina, Kishkush Ba'amasa Mahu. What if the animal was moving its aver, its male aver, and did damage that way? So are we mechayev the bailim for the nezek? Mi amrin mi the dava karen? Do we assume that it's like in this case karen that are chayev in Rosh Hashanah, that karen lav yitzro katakav lei, because karen the animal doesn't gore unless it has some sort of unusual motivation or yitzro hara to do so. So achinami lo shna, over here also the derech of the behema is to be mekashkesh ba'amasa only when it has an arousal of the Yetzer Hara, O Dilma, or maybe no, maybe we don't compare this Nezek to Karen. Karen, Kavanasa Lahazik, Ha in Kavanasa Lahazik. By Karen, its Kavana is to damage. Over here, he's just aroused, but it's not a Kavana to be Mazik, so take the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. Hatarnagol Muad and Lahalik Kedarkon Lashaber. The Mishnah had said that a Tarnagol is a Muad to go in its normal way and to break things, and we said that if there was a Dalil that was Kosher Baraglov, he had a Kli that was attached to its leg, or it was mahadis from Mashaber Sakelim, you pay chatzin nezek. So the Gemara assumes that what the Mishnah means is that if the delil is kosher on the regular of the Tarnagol, and the Tarnagol was carrying it in Rosh Hashanah from one place to another, and a person tripped on the delil and was damaged, so that's a chiv tashlum in Mishum Niske Bar. So Amar Rav Huna comments, Lo shanu ela shenikshar me'elav. This whole chiv is only going to be if the delil got tied onto the Tarnagol's regal on its own. Aval ksharu adam, if a person purposely tied it onto the person, onto the Tarnagol rather, chayiv, then the guy who did that tying is going to have to pay the full nezek, just like someone who's chofer barber shas rabim, because by tying this thing that people could trip on onto the animal, you're digging a barber shas rabim. So the Gemara explains, nikshar me'elav man chayiv. Well, wait a second, if it was nikshar me'elav, who would be chayiv in the chatzi nezek? Ilim abala talil, if you're going to say it's the owner of the kli that ended up on the animal, even though it got tied onto the Tarnagol by itself. Well, hechidami, what's exactly the case? Ida atnei, if the guy put away the kli in a safe place, honestly, it's really not his fault. V'ilo atnei, and if he didn't, it was not matznia in a safe place, posheahu, then he should pay the full nezek, because he's a posheah, and it's like a barbarous shasrabim. So why wouldn't he pay? Why would he only pay chatzi nezek? Elo must be that chayiv bala tarnagol, that the chayiv tashlumin is on the bala tarnagol, because his tarnagol is what created this takala. So maishna kule nezek delo, why doesn't the bala tarnagol pay full nezek? Dichsiv ki yiftach ish bar velo shor bar. So because the pasuk says ki yiftach ish bar velo shor bar, that a bar you only chayiv if a human being created that bar, but if an animal created that bar, you're not going to be chayiv. Well, if that's the case, chatzi nezek nami ish bar velo shor bar, and you shouldn't pay anything. Meaning gzeiras hakasuk tells you that there's no such thing as shor bar, so then you don't pay anything. So elamas nisim ba da. The Mishnah is not talking about where someone tripped on the Dalil. It's talking about where the Tarnagol was Zorek the Dalil and it broke Kalim because the animal was swinging it around with its legs. So in such a case, we're saying that you're going to be Chayiv Midin Sraros. And Rav Huna's comment was not said on our Mishnah. It was a separate din that a Tarnagol that had a Dalil that was tied to its regel, Dalil Hefker. And if it was a delil of hefker that a person trips on, Amar Rav Huna nikshar me'elav pater. If it got tied on its own, it's going to be pater. But ksharu adam chayiv. But if someone tied it on, then you're going to be chayiv because that's considered a bar that the person created by tying it on. But that's got nothing to do with our Mishnah because that wasn't the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah was that it was tsraros. It was that the animal was using its koach to swing the delil around. That was the case of our Mishnah. So mishum mai chayiv. Why are we mechayiv the guy who tied tied mishum bar. After all, it didn't damage in the place where he tied it. The tarnagol took it to a different place. So that's not like a regular bar where it damages in the spot where you dig the bar. Samarafuna bar menoach mishum bar miskalgal bragli adam bragli behema. Now you're chayiv similar to a bar miskalgal bragli adam bragli behema, which we learned previously that we're mechayiv someone who puts a takal in a rishus rabim for niske bar, even if it didn't damage in that very place where you put it. It was miskalgal somewhere else, and it damaged somewhere else. Let's just read the Mishnah quickly. What is shein mua to eat that which is normal for it to eat? Habehema muadus lechol peros v'yirakos. Behema eats peros v'yirakos. If achla ksus or kelim mishalim chatzin nezek. If it eats clothing or kelim, that's unusual. So that would be only chatzin nezek. Pamed varma murim b'rishus hanizik al b'rishus rabim pater. The rule of shein is you're only chayv in b'rishus hanizik. You're pater b'rishus rabim on shein. V'im nenis mishalem is mashenenis. But if an animal had lunch out of it, even though you're putter for paying for the damages, but the owner of the animal should at least pay for the hana that he now doesn't have to feed his animal lunch. If it eats from the ruchava, from the town square, mishlamis mashenenis, it only pays mashenenis. But mitzidei ruchava, mishlamis mashizika. From the sides of the ruchava, then it's going to pay mashizika. Mipesach hachanus, if it eats from the entrance of a chanus of a store, mishlamis mashenenis, it pays for its hana. But from inside the store, then it's going to be mishalim that which it actually damaged. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara on the bottom of Yotes Amid Beis. Everyone have a great day. You're welcome. You're welcome. Take care.